My good friend Paul Tonko is here with us, representative of the 20th District, a man who I have tremendous respect for. So let me start by trying to see what you think about the death of Justice Scalia and what this portends for America.
Well, we certainly extend condolences to his family. He provided great service to the country. I didn't always agree with Justice Scalia's votes in on the Supreme Court. What does it it provides for a moment here for us to follow what the Constitution directs us to do, and that is to have the president present a nominee and have the Senate continue through the confirmation process. They should review his credentials, the nominee's credentials, his or her credentials, and move forward and take a vote.
You know, you say he provided great service to the country. We do have a rule in American politics that when somebody's on their way out, when somebody dies, you only say nice things about them. But I don't think he did good things for this country. I think he was the leader of a 5-4 majority, which did very bad things to the people who have the least in this country. Why can't we say that?
I think we can say it in respectful terms, as you might just have. Yeah, I was in disagreement with many of those decisions. Citizens United comes forth as a grave concern that I had for that court and its rendering of decisions.
Following up on that, Paul Tonko, because I love to sort of tweak you a little bit. If it's 5-4 decision, which is nonsense, of course, it's like those scratch-off things you get where they— your number is 10, but they always give you lots of 11s and 9s. It's 5-4. It's still 5-4. It goes the other way. And think about who commits worse crimes, the guy who goes into a grocery store with a gun, or a guy who is the fifth vote or the leader of those five who does terrible things to people in this country.
Well, I think it reminds us of the power that the Supreme Court has, the importance of the appointments to that court. You know, our quality of life, our opportunities are very much impacted. Outcomes that come from the Supreme Court bear great relevance for decades. And so I think it's very important for us to have an intellect on that court that understands the dynamics of this country and where we can lead us in a progressive format to have a stronger future.
So they say they won't do it. The Republicans say, well, we're not going to allow this. He should wait for a year right, to do this. And somebody writes to me and says, well, why don't they wait till they vote for the next year, the United States Senate? What is this about? Frame this for us, Paul Tonko.
Well, there's too many.
Who loses under this scenario?
I think the American public loses under this scenario. There are a number of important decisions coming before the country: the Clean Power Plan, the union rights, a number of issues that are before the court that will be stalled. I think that basically what needs to happen here is for the public to be engaged in a way that looks at the history here. There has never, since John F. Kennedy's days, there has never been a confirmation process, confirming, withdrawing, rejecting, that went beyond 99 days. I think the longest was 125 days way back in the turn of the last century. It's also, you know, the fact that there's some 300 plus days of the President Obama's administration left. You could do, with the numbers I just shared, you could probably do 13 reviews of appointees in that time frame based on the average days, length of time that has been the outcome for previous appointment reviews. So I think if the public hears this, they'll get more engaged in the process. I think the majority leader, Mitch McConnell, made a major mistake by jumping out moments after the news of the Justice Scalia's death to just indicate there would be, you know, that the door was shut, that the process would not go forward until the next election.
So that is a thoughtful, substantive review of things. But from a political point, from a political point, seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, that the Republicans lose badly on this one. Because if Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders, for example, is elected president, they may get three or four judges.
Exactly.
This way, I believe Obama's going to have to bring somebody in who is somewhat accessible to the Republicans. So I would find, here's what I would do. I would find a Republican, not that you care, but if here's what I'd do. I would find a Republican who is votes Obama's way, one of the old kind, the Rockefeller guys or the Lindsay guys, and I would appoint them to the court and say, I dare you to vote against one of your own. Whereas if in fact this thing goes to a Democratic president, they really could be in a lot of trouble forever.
I hear what you're saying, but I would hate to see us playing that kind of politics to get some sort of assurance to get a winning outcome.
Well, but it happens
and
all the time.
Have that impact that will sit on that court for a long time. I think that, you know, he should put someone of great respect, great intellect up for a nominee that, you know, even Justice Scalia had said, if you're going to bring about some folks, at least choose someone with high intellect. I think that that's very much what we need on that highest court in the land. I also think that, this whole argument that the people, it should be left to the people. Well, the people decided when they reelected President Obama. They knew three or four of the justices were of that age that they may consider retirement. They knew that when they elected 100 senators or whatever the amount of senators has been since 2012, they knew that the same thing was true, that they were part of a confirmation process. So the public has had its say. And I think the arguments, the political arguments, are weak, and it's showing so because they're splintering now within the Republican ranks as to, I believe their Judiciary Committee chair is looking at
hearings.
Doing a hearing, at least.
Well, he's gone forward with it, then he's.
I think they're feeling the pressure, though.
Yeah. Well, of course they feel the pressure because they're polling. They know the American people don't think this is fair.
I mean, 300 and some days before the administration's tenure comes to an end, that tells us there's plenty of time to review good candidates and that we shouldn't bow to the pressure of trying to play politics with their confirmation process. Let's take the best we have out there, present them, and dare them to reject.
We only have a minute left, Paul Tonko, but, I have often compared the Supreme Court in some ways to the Ayatollah in Iran. Therefore, they can have a democratic process, they can elect a democratic president in Iran, but in the end, that old Ayatollah is the guy who puts his hand down onto the table and says, you can't do this because I say so. Well, that's the role the Supreme Court has been playing under this 5-4 Republican majority on that court.
Mm-hmm. I've been very critical of several of their outcomes, say, over the last couple of years. I thought they were politically motivated and weren't in the best interest of the country. And, we'll continue to speak out when I sense that happening. But
which is why, Paul Tonko, I think when you talk about Scalia saying a man of intellect, well, he was a man of basic political stature. He knew where he was going. He was going right. So he says the kinds of things he says, but he says it articulately, and that is hardly the point about why somebody should be on that court, that they can write well.
True. I think that you can be very talented, but your motivations, your integrity are what matter here, and that you have to be open to the arguments so that you render a sound decision, a just decision. And I couldn't agree more. A sound mind and great intellect is the start of a good justice, but you need to be of high integrity and, morally motivated to do the right thing.
Paul Tonko, I love having you here. I may give you a hard time, but I think you are the best.
Well,
so thanks for being here.
I thank you for that.